G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
A biblical perspective on life, culture and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
Our regular update with Christian Voice Australia's Greg Bondar. Today, some political commentary into the outcome of the Dunkley by-election in Victoria last weekend. And there is what is happening even right now as we speak, a glaring example of how anti-Semitism takes hold, with an unfolding situation right here on our shores in Australia. And some insights too into how our parental rights are being affected by international covenants. Greg Bondar with us in just a moment. We're 90 minutes away from checking in with author and mission leader Paul Gibbs, the founder of the PACE movement. He's written a new book called Kingdom-Centric: Reframing Christianity. Then on Faith and the Future with Dr. Camille Majdali, our series is on the book of Joel, and today we're focusing on invasion and the nature of God. Engaging conversations ahead on this Tuesday edition of 2020. Well, Greg Bondar back with us, National Director of Christian Voice Australia, a national think tank and advocacy group for families, liberty and faith, well-known political commentator. Greg Bondar, a special welcome back to 2020.
Oh, good morning, Neil. It's a lovely day here in Sydney.
Greg, I know that you were following closely the outcome of the Dunkley by-election in Victoria on the weekend. I wonder if you've got some insights into what happened, whether it was a good or bad outcome, the expected outcome, all sorts of things around the by-election. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, thank you, Neil. Look, I've been speaking to some colleagues of mine who have been in Parliament for years, and also have some political commentators that I know. Look, one of the reasons I think Dunkley went to the Labor is because, quite frankly, and Albanese identified this, is that the Liberals, the Coalition, were too much on the defensive. They were too much negative, and they concentrated on the 148 immigration detainees. They concentrated on the 39 asylum seekers in WA. Neil, one of the things when they're doing their navel gazing is they're going to have to, political parties need to let the electorate know what is it that they can do for them. So in other words, in my view, the key to winning this election would have revolved around the natural biblical family, Neil.
Because when we talk family, families are chasing challenges there right now. There are some challenging times. It's living standards, cost of living, all of those sorts of issues. So when you've got a political campaign based on things that are not scratching where people are itching, is this what you're saying, Greg? This is where perhaps political leaders need to be focusing?
Yeah, absolutely, Neil. Look, the point is that, you know, the natural biblical family, this is the foundation for a flourishing society, and politicians need to understand that. Had I been advising the opposition, I would have said, look, concentrate on families, concentrate on what you can do for them. What I call positive political approach to electioneering is that, what is it that we can do for you, rather than, oh, we don't agree with this and we don't agree with that, and so on and so forth. So that would have been the key to winning that, because quite frankly, Dunkley was ripe for picking for the opposition, Neil.
Ripe for picking. And when we move forward, more elections coming. In fact, a Tasmanian state election not too far away. Family issues. Sometimes, I'm sure, when you've got, intellectual boffins who are creating campaigns and wanting to do all sorts of things that might be more sophisticated, is there wisdom in recognising the natural family, a biblical family unit? What are your thoughts here very quickly?
Yeah, very quickly. Now, look, the family, as I said, is the foundation for a flourishing society. I think if politicians can push that, the family, the way it grows, it's something that needs to be it needs to be identified in any political campaign, because quite frankly, families are the key to a political win, in my view, now.
There's a example that is unfolding right now, Greg Bondar, and it appears to me to be a glaring example of anti-Semitism that's been allowed to flourish here on our shores in Australia. There's a mental health conference that's being held on the Gold Coast. It started yesterday. It's on today. And there was an invited world expert who was expected to appear. I know you've been following this through. What's the issue here, and how serious is this, do you think?
Neil, this is absolutely a travesty of justice. It is something that I cannot believe is happening. You know, all these sort of do-gooders, all these wing, politicians and organisations speak about, oh, we've got to have inclusion, we've got to have fairness, we've got to have DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, and blah, blah, blah. Neil, here is a conference for, and this Jewish doctor, Dr. Fauci, was invited some 5 months ago, I believe, and now, thanks to targeted discrimination, the woke agenda has been prominent, and he's not been allowed to speak. His hotel room was cancelled. I mean, Neil, this is outrageous, and something that every person in Victoria at the moment ought to be protesting outside the hotel and saying this is just not on in this day and age. Absolutely outrageous, Neil.
Because when it all comes down, it would appear that he's been uninvited because he is a Jew, and he has some skills and qualifications which he would have been contributing to this. He's a respected trauma expert. As far as I'm aware, world-renowned Dr. Moshe Fauci. So because he is a Jew, he's been uninvited. Were there any reasons that you think might have been, relevant reasons?
Look, I actually believe that this is a prime example of targeted discrimination. Neil, he heads up in Israel. He's the head of the Trauma and Resilience Studies Center in Israel. He's highly qualified. Why would you not let him speak? Because the woke agenda has taken control of this particular conference on the Gold Coast, and again, cancel culture comes into play. And once again, we all sit back and say, but what we should be doing is, quite frankly, be outside that conference and saying, this is not on. Targeted discrimination, just because he's a Jew, cannot be allowed to happen, Neil. And I have a real soft spot for people that get cancelled in the public arena, Neil.
In his own words, he's reportedly quoted as saying he has never experienced such anti-Semitism in his long career in academia. I wonder if you've got any thoughts at all. Australia's reputation, he's taking a story away now that will be reported, and this story told around the world, perhaps for the rest of his academic career. What sort of thoughts you might have around Australia's reputation when this sort of thing is allowed to happen?
Well, let me update you, Neil. Not only has he been cancelled, Dr. Fauci, but I know that two Jewish comedians who are due to perform here in Australia, and I think it might be Melbourne, but I've got to check on that, their venues have been cancelled as well because they're Jewish. So he's another example of two Jewish comedians wanting to entertain the public, and their venues have been cancelled only and because of their Jewish background. It's unheard of, not right. So again, discrimination is rife, and anti-Semitism has to stop. And I've been talking, by the way, to Mark Leach to see how can this be further sort of highlighted in the Australian community, because this can't go on forever, Neil.
Let's move on. Some of us wonder how our parental rights are being undermined, and you've been looking into this little research around how the UN undermines parental rights by pushing gender ideology. Gender ideology has become the tool or the weapon that's being used to undermine parental rights. What are your thoughts here?
Yes, I've been doing some research, Neil, and the UN is an absolute, it needs to be held accountable, because what it's doing is it's now redefining certain international covenants, For example, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, the International Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights give legal recognition to parents. But what's happening is that the UN is redefining these covenants, and what they're doing is saying to member nations, hey, why don't you sort of look at gender ideology? We're trying to make sure that this DEI, is more prominent. And now the UN is really trying to, disenfranchise parental responsibilities to their children. And we need to, as a country, we don't have to follow their direction. So Australia needs to say to the UN, go away, we're going to let our parents look after our children our own way. So that's something that's really an issue that's going to come to the fore more and more as we go ahead this year.
So signing up to international covenants and even, I suspect, what might seem good and right in one instance can evolve to something quite nasty 12 months down the track. So in signing up to these international covenants, we're actually signing up to an undermining of human rights and fundamental freedoms, sanctity of life, parental rights, marriage and family. Sounds very pervasive, doesn't it? Every area of life can be under the control of people outside of our nation.
Yeah, quite right, Neil. And, we're not legally bound direction from the UN. So what we should be doing is, and I'm talking about Christian organisations, churches or whatever, we should be making representation to the UN, but in particular to our own politicians, and saying to them, Neil, look, why is this gender ideology being promoted? It is undermining parental rights. It's undermining the fact that we as parents know what is right. As a granddad, I look at my granddaughters and my grandson, and I say, hey, it's me that wants to educate them about life and a biblical worldview, not the state. So really, it's something that we've got to fight against now and continue to do so because the UN is getting more and more prominent in its gender ideology.
And I imagine, Greg, that we can come back to biblical foundations for parents taking that opportunity to pass on to their own children, generation to generation, those values that are important to them. And, of course, their faith will be very much central to that. So parental rights, the integrity of the family, the children belong to their parents until they're adults and they can do their own thing. These sorts of things are fundamental, and these things have been the history of the world, and in 5 minutes this is being changed. So needs to be some sort of resistance to it.
Amen. Amen. Because you see, quite frankly, I've written to the UN, I've made representation, and I think every Australian should be contacting their MP and say, look, we do not want to bow down to the altar of the woke ideology that the UN is pushing. So please ask everybody, contact your MP. My children, my grandchildren are my responsibility, not the state.
Greg, let's lighten things up a little bit. We've been getting pretty heavy over these first few issues we're touching on. Let me remind listeners. Yes, let me remind listeners of a fabulous organisation that has been going for many decades now. It's called Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International, FGBMFI. You were recently invited, Greg, to be a speaker at an FGB event. How'd that go?
Yeah, look, I was in Albury last weekend, and I was preaching at three churches and a men's breakfast, and one of them was this fantastic organisation, Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. Now, quite frankly, it's been going since 1952. It's interdenominational, and it's a fellowship of businessmen. But rest assured, there are also women chapters as well, Neil, so it's not completely men. But in terms of theology, it's a sort of a Pentecostal-type organisation. But here is what they do, Neil, very quickly. And I've got to say to every man, track down this organisation. This is what they want to do, or this is what they are doing, to reach every man in all nations for Jesus Christ. Call men back to God. Help believers to be baptised in the Holy Spirit. Train and equip men to fulfil the Great Commission. Provide an opportunity for Christian fellowship and bring unity among all people in the body of Christ. Now, how good are those mission statements, Neil? And everyone should be aiming for that anyway. It's a great organisation.
And the way they do it, and they haven't changed their the way they operate for a long, long time. They have a dinner. So there's food, there's hospitality, there are people sitting around tables, there's a network that happens, you get to meet other people, and you're hearing usually the testimony of someone who is an influential business person in the community. That works pretty well, doesn't it, Greg?
Absolutely, Neil. And I was, my men's talk on Saturday, last Saturday, was all about my testimony, Neil, you know, and I sometimes when I do my own testimony, I have tears in my eyes because I know the impact that God's had on my life. And I'll have to tell it to you one day, Neil, but that was something that I shared with the, we had about 40, 50 at the breakfast, and it was just fantastic to see men connecting and understanding that God works in everybody's life, especially for men who are quite frankly called to help with the Great Commission, Neil. So I thoroughly enjoyed myself. So wonderful event.
Wonderful organisation. And there might be one in your community. Check out FGBMFI. Hey, let's get back into the deep end here. We had a little bit of a reprieve for you. But you've also been working on an issue here. Is it our responsibility as Christians to leave a woke church? Give us an insight here, because some will say stay and work on it from within. You know, some will say, well, we're up and leaving. Sometimes that's an easy situation. What are your thoughts here, Greg?
Yeah, thank you, Neil, because this has come up because, as you know, I get invited to a lot of churches Australia-wide, and some of the churches, you know, I speak at, quite frankly, amaze me. I had one lady come up to me at a church not long ago to say, gee, it was good, Greg, to hear God's word preached. Well, I said to myself, well, what are you doing every other Sunday if you're not hearing God's word preached? And this came to me because what's happening, Neil, is, you know, if your minister or pastor, who's called Samuel, all of a sudden becomes Samantha, I'd be running from that particular church, Neil, because what they're doing is they are not a Bible-based church. They are biblically not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So there are a lot of ways you can identify a woke church, Neil, but quite frankly, if we're not careful, you'll get caught up in the wokeness of the church. Because what they're trying to do, Neil, between you and me, they're trying to appease man rather than God.
So there is a element of getting back to a hermeneutic understanding of what values are presented from a biblical study and the application of those into our present time in history. And when you're woke, there's all sorts of unbiblical philosophies there, and we identify those sort of things in the secular realm, but we sometimes think we're immune in church, but actually churches are going woke as well. I just mentioned that Greg Bondar is the editor of a book called Silencing of the Lambs, Wokeism and Cancel Culture's Attack on Christianity in Australia. No doubt there's some good insight in that book. You'll be able to get that at online booksellers. Hey, we've run out of time today, Greg Bondar, but thank you so much for taking some time to share these thoughts with us. I'll point listeners to the website for Christian Voice Australia. It's christianvoiceaustralia.blog. christianvoiceaustralia.blog, a national think tank and advocacy group for families, liberty and faith. Greg Bondar, the National Director of Christian Voice Australia, thanks so much for sharing your insights again with us today on 2020.
Thank you, Lord, and God bless you for the work that you do.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.